We turn to the passage of scripture which we read in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 9. And we shall read again verse 22. Acts chapter 9 at verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Amen. Recently we considered the subject of spiritual courage, and we had as our text on that occasion words of Moses as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Spiritual courage. Here we have something very similar. With regard to Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, we learn that he increased the more in strength, spiritual strength. And this is something we should all desire as the Lord's people, and especially in a day such as ours, a day of rebuke, a day of blasphemy. They are small things for the church and the cause of Christ in our own land, a wicked land, a land greatly privileged by God, yet going back upon those privileges, turning to false religion and to irreligion, anything but to the Lord himself and his holy word. We need to be strong so that we may stand in the evil day. And that is a blessing for the individual believer, and of course it is a blessing for the church. When God's people are strong in himself, because that is the secret of spiritual strength, as the Lord may enable us to see. Well, Saul was strong, and he was increasing in strength, and this so soon after he had met the Lord, or shall we say the Lord had met him. It is not physical strength that is referred to here. We learn of that in verse 19, when he had received meat, he was strengthened in terms of his physical frame. No, this has to do with his soul. This has to do with his relationship with his newfound Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace has entered into Saul's heart, and he's growing in faith, in understanding, in assurance, in zeal. He is bold for the Lord. And we wish to consider Saul's spiritual strength, to see what it was about this man that made him stand out, and means that he is an example for believers in every generation. What then do we learn about spiritual strength? Well, firstly, how it is obtained. And it is surely evident that spiritual strength can only come from the Lord himself. In 1 Samuel, Samuel the prophet refers to God by this title, The Strength of Israel. And that is God in covenant with Israel. That is God, all that he is, on behalf of Israel. That is the wonder of God's covenant of grace. That God, all that he is in himself, is pledged to his people. He is their God. He is for them. God as Trinity. God as the eternal Spirit, infinite and unchangeable. God as all wise, all powerful, everywhere present. God as the God of truth and righteousness. God as the God of mercy and grace. All that God is, he is for his own. And to each and every individual believer. We often refer to those words at the end of Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. There is spiritual strength. God strengthening his people. But note, we must make use of the means God has provided for us, whereby we may meet him, know him as he is, and as he is in covenant with his people, and enjoy the communication of his grace to our souls. The body must be fed, and the body must be exercised, if it is to be strong and vigorous. So it is with the soul. And sadly, many professing believers do not seem to recognize that. And they perhaps have a wrong view of God's way of dealing with his people. They simply sit back and they wait, but they do not wait upon God. As though somehow, at some point, suddenly, God, in a sovereign way, will come to them and revive them and change them so that they will be more holy and more effectual in the Lord's service. When you read the scriptures, God is certainly sovereign, but he exercises his sovereignty in relation to his people as they also have dealings with him. He's given us the means of grace, the word and prayer in particular. And we must make use of these means by faith, through faith in Christ. And in that way, we may expect the Lord to work and the Lord to strengthen us. And we can see these things in Saul. You can see prayer. Verse 11. This is the Lord's word to Ananias. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. For the first time, this man Saul of Tarsus, is truly praying, calling upon God, not now as a self-righteous Pharisee, but as a humble child of God, wholly dependent upon the Lord and seeking God's strength. Prayer then is a great means for obtaining God's strength. We are weak, are we not? And a felt weakness is a good thing to have as a Christian, to feel that you're weak in and of yourself. For then you will come to the Lord and cast yourself at his feet and pray that he would hold up your goings and enable you to walk in his ways and to serve him faithfully. There's also the sacraments, and we have in verse 18 that Saul baptized. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. The mark of Christ applied to Saul. One now identified with the cause of the Lord. No turning back. One who had received the Holy Spirit, received new life, and would enjoy that life more and more through the continual working of the Spirit in his heart. And there was also fellowship. Saul desired that. Verse 19, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. He associated now with the Christians. He had despised them, and he had persecuted them, and he had sought to have them put to death. But now he had a different view of them altogether. He saw them as his brethren, the salt of the earth, the godly, the followers of the Lord who had had mercy upon him and whom he would now follow and seek to serve. And above all, there is the Word of God. And when you think of Saul, he was learned in the scriptures. He had been schooled in them. His upbringing was such that he would have been tutored in the word, and then he'd been tutored by Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But you see, you can be a student of the scriptures, and you can have a certain knowledge of the scriptures, and yet it is not a saving knowledge. Something has to happen. There must be a work of God's grace. There must be the entrance of the Spirit into the heart, bringing the word home with power, with life-changing, transforming power. Think of those words that Christ uttered in his sermon recorded in John chapter 6. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that was the history of Saul. The flesh profited him nothing. He had done much in the flesh, and oh, how proud he was of it. But it did not avail him anything at all. But when the word came from the Lord, blessed by the Lord, it was spirit and it was life. Born again. His eyes opened, the scales removed, and here he is. And he's united to Christ, and he's walking with Christ, and he's leaning upon the Lord. And that's how he's getting his strength. And that's how we must be in our pilgrimage here. We do not walk alone. We walk hand in hand with Christ. His promise is to dwell with his people and to be with them in all their afflictions and their strength and their sympathy, and there's courage and there's comfort. And the Lord gives all that we require to keep us while it pleases Him that we should remain here in His service. How do we obtain spiritual strength? From God Himself, in the use of the ordinary means, by faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we note how spiritual strength is manifest, how it is seen. And we're told of Saul that he increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He was proving something. And he was proving it first for himself, but then to others. What was he proving? That Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the anointed of the Lord. Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. That's what Saul was doing. This is the great mark of the Christian, taken up with Christ. Christ is everything. He is our life. And we're thinking, or we are to be thinking, upon his person, the glory of his being as the only begotten Son of God, from eternity and to eternity, the glory of his being as equal with the Father and with the Spirit, and the glory of his work coming into our world in our flesh, one with his brethren, like them in everything, sin excepted, and suffering as God's servant, and taking that lonely way to the cross, and that way which involved him in so much of woe and grief, a man of sorrows indeed. He's the Lamb of God. This is appointed to him. He must bring an end to sacrifice by being the sacrifice. One sacrifice for sins forever. A sacrifice that will actually deal with the sins of his people, will remove all their guilt and reconcile them to God, and fit them for heaven. And here is Saul, and he is proving that Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah. He's able to join the prophecies of the Old Testament to Jesus of Nazareth. He couldn't do that before. It was the last thing he would do. Jesus was an imposter. That Jesus was an enemy of the Jews because he claimed to be the Messiah. And such a one could not be. Weak, ineffectual, suffering, and especially crucified. But the scales have been removed. Now he saw in the same scriptures that he knew so well when he read them as one upon whom the Lord had looked in favor. Now he saw in those scriptures Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, the child promised to a virgin mother, the Son who was promised to Israel, the one whose goings forth were of old, even from ancient times, the one whom God himself had set upon his holy hill of Zion, the King, of the church. With all his heart, Saul now believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and he proclaims that to others with great conviction and willing to endure whatever hostility might come his way as a result. And he could only do that in the strength of the Lord. But in the strength of the Lord, he could do that. That, you see, is the encouragement for us. We may not be preachers, but we are called to bear testimony. Ye are my witnesses, says the Lord to his people, even today. Do you have a passion for Christ? A love for him? A desire that he will be glorified in our day? Are you willing then to open your lips? Are you willing to bear testimony to Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the scriptures and as he has been revealed to your soul? It's one thing for a person to be able to point to verses of scripture and say to another, this is what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. That is well and good. That is necessary. But there are many who could perhaps do that, who would not be able to say anything personally about Christ. But the believer is able to do just that, to give some account as to how the Lord met with them, or how the Lord has helped them in their lives. The joy of fellowship with Christ, hearing his voice in the word, and the privilege of being able to pray in the name of Christ, bringing all our troubles to God, seeking his help. We should desire to make Christ known. A Christ not known will not do sinners any good. He must be proclaimed. He must be declared. And that is what Saul was seeking to do. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For perhaps some professing Christians today are somewhat ashamed of the things of God and the gospel of Christ. How could that be? Perhaps it is the times in which we live. Believers will hide their light under a bushel because they know that if they are open in their profession of Jesus Christ, they will be inviting scorn and ridicule and perhaps worse. We are living in difficult times. Things are lukewarm at best, spiritually, in our land. And there is an atmosphere of contending against Christianity, against the truths the Christians believe. And that is because the Word of God in Holy Scripture challenges man. It pricks his conscience. It speaks against the wickedness of our day, the immorality of our day, the gross immorality of our day. It reproves it. And it is indeed an evidence of the truth of Christianity that Christianity is so opposed, so hated. If Christianity was nothing, the ungodly need do nothing with regard to it, just ignore it. But they seem determined to oppose it. Governments seem determined to oppose it. Evangelical religion, gospel preaching, gospel witness, silence it. Forbid it. It has no place today. We believe in diversity, tolerance. Tolerance of everything except God's word, God's people. Challenges. And it must challenge. How was Saul of Tarsus brought to know the Lord? Because there was a witness. Because there was evidence in God's people that what they professed to believe really mattered to them. And they were willing to bear the cost of following the Lord and keeping God's truth. We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us inwardly and to have such assurance concerning the truth of the Word of God that we will stand by it whatever may befall us. We leave that to the Lord. And thirdly and finally, the benefits of spiritual strength. And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. Saul, growing in spiritual strength, was able to confound, to bewilder and defeat the Jews. The Jews, his own people, but lost in their Judaism, as Saul himself had been. And he did so by means, simply, of expounding the scriptures. Explaining the word of God in the Old Testament. They were against him now. They were determined that they would defeat him. But no, strengthened by the Lord, he defeated them. No doubt the Jews were utterly amazed at the change in Saul. He had been turned about completely. He had indeed left the broad way and entered the narrow way. He was now preaching the faith which he had once sought to destroy. His very heart and mind, spirit, transformed by the grace of God, conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. And we can imagine it required great strength, spiritual strength, for Saul to now declare the things that he did, even to his own people who knew him so well, and who had perhaps learned much from him, teaching them concerning their own Jewish religion. But now he taught them differently. And we learn of their response. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And they were not able to do what was in their hearts. with regard to Saul. For the Lord was with him, and the Lord delivered him. Saul was following in the footsteps of Stephen. Now there's an interesting connection here, of course. We're told with regard to Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And that was the Jews, those who were in the synagogue, who disputed with Stephen, but they could not resist what he had to say. And then we learn of Stephen's martyrdom in Acts chapter 7. He rehearses the history of the Jews and how God had blessed them, but how they on many occasions had grieved God and wronged God and incurred God's displeasure. And he came, as he concluded his speech, to refer to the Jews as uncircumcised in heart and ears, always resisting the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. And then how they slew Jesus Christ, the just one. And the connection with Saul is this, that Saul was present on that occasion, and those who stoned Stephen dealt with him so cruelly, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And did he not see the face of Stephen? And did he not hear Stephen's words? Did he not see how that godly man, even suffering such a cruel death, was steadfast and bold for the Lord Jesus Christ? Did that not have an effect upon Saul of Tarsus? Was that not blessed to him by the Lord, as other things, unto his conversion? And did not the remembrance of Stephen, even Stephen being able to say that looking up to heaven, he saw the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God, did not that witness, that testimony, remain with Saul? And was it not brought to Saul's attention when Saul himself, Paul the apostle, faced much hostility, was threatened with death himself? Did that not, in God's way, with God's blessing, strengthen Saul, strengthen the apostle Paul? And so it may be that as we read the scriptures, and as we see the example of godly men and women, Old Testament and New, and as we consider those down through history on the side of Christ, who were strong in the Lord, even unto death, we ourselves may be strengthened by the Lord. A day of opposition, and a day in which God's people must stand firm. And the Lord Jesus himself said to the disciples, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Patiently wait upon God. Entrust yourself to Him. Obtain from Him the strength that He gives to His own who wait upon Him. And let that strength be seen in our own testimony for Christ, according to the conviction, assurance God has given to us, the truth of His word and gospel, and that the Lord would indeed use our witness and testimony to bring others out of their spiritual darkness and into His marvelous light. The Lord blessing our effort. And may God bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord God, we confess our weakness before Thee. All too easily we go along with the world and fail to make our stand. We pray for that inner strength whereby we shall be able to declare our love for Jesus Christ, our confidence in Him as our Lord and Saviour, reigning in heaven and soon to come again as the Judge of all the earth. And wilt Thou bless Thy truth to many in these days, do in their experience even what was done in that of Saul of Tarsus, that they may become new men and women, honouring the Lord whom they have dishonoured. Hear us, O Lord, and grant Thy mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. Amen.